We have three forefathers. It's funny that we have three forefathers. Should be four forefathers. But we have three forefathers. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. And they each represent and personify different trait. Avram, it says, was the epitome of kindness. He was a very kind person, and that's why he was known for hosting guests, and he pitched his tent in the middle of a desert where people were traveling, and he would give them a place to stay and water to drink. He would win people over with his kindness. And we see it in their family interactions, because when Ishmael, his oldest son, was having bad influence on his youngest son, Yitzchak, Sarah, the wife, was the one who said, listen, you got to get rid of this guy because he is up to no good. And Avram was trying to still have him stay till God intervened and God said, you got to listen to your wife. Just for the record, God only told it to him and only at that time. That's it. Yes, it's not a general statement. It's not a mitzvah in the Torah for everybody. I just want to put it on the record. And then Avram had his son, Yitzchak. Yitzchak, like it often happens, was the very opposite of his father. You know, every kid grows up thinking, I know everything what my parents did wrong and I'm going to do the exact opposite, right? So Yitzchak probably grew up exactly like that. And he was the epitome of gvura, which is strictness, discipline, severity, strength. That was him. And then we have our third forefather, Yaakov. And he was the epitome of harmony, tiferet, which means the fusion between the first two. He was the middle ground between strictness and kindness. And these three traits are first three and primary midot in our Kabbalistic chart of Sefirot. We know that there are 7 days during which God created the world, and there are 7 Sefirot that correspond to certain emotions, and each one of the days of creation was a different emotion. First one was kindness, gevura. Second one was strictness. Third one was tiferet, harmony, and so on. These are the emotions through which God reveals himself to this world. So we are told that we are built in the image of God. That's what the Torah says in the very beginning. What does it mean? God doesn't have an image. Our inner workings are similar to how God is revealing himself in this world. It says that just like our soul is filling our body, this is how God is filling this physical world. So whenever we will notice anything between our soul and our body, we will see this is similar to what is going on between God and this world. So we have these three emotions, and God has these three emotions through which he is revealing himself in this world. The first one was kindness. Kindness has to be primary. Why? Because kindness means creating something, giving something. God created this world. God created, on the first day of creation, God created matter. Because if you don't create matter, nothing else matters. So God created matter. Then came the second day when it was the revelation of strictness. Strictness means limitation. God shapes everything. If you don't have a matter, you will have nothing to shape. So strictness cannot come before kindness. First was kindness. It says, Chesed Olam Yibaneh. This world was created with kindness. People think that it means it's because love has to prevail in this world. No, it simply means that the first emotion always has to be kindness. Then it's already coming some restriction how you limit this kind of. But if you have nothing to give, you have nothing to limit. So first one was Avraham, who was kindness, same thing. Then came Yitzchak. Yitzchak saw what his father was sharing with the world, and he said, one second, maybe it's a little too much. I need to hold back. Which one of them was right, Avraham or Yitzchak? Guess what? They were both right in one way, and we know that Avram had several children. First, he had two, Ishmael and Yitzchak, and his first son did not stay Jewish. Yitzchak stayed Jewish, and then his children that came afterwards from Keturah, who was Hagar, in other words, after his wife Sarah passed away, he married his concubine. So the mother of Ishmael was also the mother of his other children. None of them stayed Jewish. Only one of them became a Jew. Everybody else went their own way. Why? The Torah says, because overwhelming kindness can have negative side effects. What about Yitzchak? Same thing. He had two children. One of them was a nice, good Jewish boy. He probably went to both law school and medical school. And the other one was this criminal hoodlum. Why? Same thing. Overwhelming strictness can have negative side effects. You need kindness, but on its own, it could have bad results. You need strictness, but on its own, it could have bad results. Only Yaakov, the third one, who was representing the harmony of the two, he had 13 children, and all of them turned out to be following his path. So these are these three emotions. Now, interestingly enough, people often misinterpret these emotions. People think that kindness, loving, is this soft emotion. You have to be this delicate flower. People think that strictness means this anger, rage. This is what we think of strictness. This is why many times I hear people say that God is love, God is kindness. People deify and glorify kindness, and people dislike strictness and discipline. All of these ideas are wrong according to the Jewish tradition. Kindness and my desire to give, it is actually a very powerful and very strong desire. To be kind doesn't mean to be this delicate flower. People that give, that want to give, they give forcefully, and they usually give too much if they are the epitome of kindness like Avram was. And it could hurt. It could be giving more than a person can handle. It could be giving more than a person needs, and it's going to ruin him. Kindness is a very forceful emotion. Love is also a very, very forceful emotion. And yes, love could have negative effects as well. Love is not all good. I know many people that have terrible relationships because they love each other too much. If I love somebody, it means I want to be close with them all the time. I want to unite with them. I don't leave them a space for themselves. But a person feels like he needs to have his own space. My love is a feeling that compels me to overwhelm someone else. Well, people don't like being overwhelmed. Think of a little child. When a little child is born, his parents love him. What does it mean? They feed him, they clothe him. They don't leave him any decisions to make. Well, little baby, newborn, he doesn't know anything yet. They love him. Then comes a time when you need to pull back. You need to allow your child to decide yourself whether he wants to eat or not. For parents, it's usually the most difficult transition. My son says he's not cold. Well, I'm cold. Should I tell him he still has to get dressed or not? My son says he doesn't like this and this. Well, should I still push him or not? How much room do I give him? This is respect. How much respect? Love and respect are opposite from each other. Love is my desire to overwhelm someone. Respect is my desire to let a person have his own space. Pull myself back. That's strictness. In non-Jewish world, strictness is usually viewed as the way person treating others. In the Torah, it says, Ezehu gibor, who is a strong person, hakovesh es yitro, who can conquer himself. Strictness is an emotion which is aimed at yourself. Chesed, kindness, aimed at others. Strictness is aimed at yourself. A guy who is yelling and screaming in anger is not a strict person. A guy who knows how to shut up, he's a strict person. And as a matter of fact, people make this mistake very often. anger is an expression of chesed, because it's expansion. I'm allowing my emotions to come out. Anger is not strictness. If I know how to restrict myself, that's discipline. That's strictness. A rabbi who was helping out once when I lived in New York, big sign right above his desk, never miss a good chance to shut up. So that is gvura ability. That's a strictness ability, to hold yourself back. So if a person is a reserved person, he doesn't share his emotions a lot, that's a strict person. That's a gvura person. Also, I very often hear from people, they assume that if you compliment your children a lot, that then you're a kind person. If you are not complimenting them, if you are not giving them a lot of encouragement, then you are a strict person. It isn't correct. Strictness in the Torah is also a very similar term with judgment. Giving only as much as person is deserving. That's strictness. Now, if your child deserves a compliment, if he did something well, and you are not telling him that he did it well, that's not called strictness. That's called being nasty. A strict person gives his child compliments only when his child deserves compliments. A kind parent will also give it to him when he is not deserving it. But strictness means my child sometimes deserves. I give him what he deserves. When we turn to God, we are asking for two things. We are asking for kindness and justice, or love and truth. Love and kindness are very similar. Justice and truth are also very similar. Truth means whatever person deserves, that's what he gets. Justice means whatever person earned, that's how much he's making. That's justice. We know that this world would not be able to survive if God would be only basing everything on truth, only on justice. Why? Because God sees what we are, sees what we do. If God will be giving us only what we earned, there's going to be bad news for all of us. So we are asking God to, first of all, give us what we deserve. Justice, the truth. And then on top of it, please be kind. Give us a little more, maybe a lot more. So these are our two forefathers, Avram and Yitzchak, kindness and strictness. And then comes Yaakov, who is harmony, the combination of the two. What is the combination of the two? In the Torah, it's called mercy. What is mercy? People often don't see the distinction between kindness and mercy. I'm a kind person. I want to give everything to everybody. I don't think about what person needs, what he deserves. I give. Comes strictness and say, one second. This guy is a druggie. You will give him money. He's going to use it on his drugs. And you're only going to be feeding his addiction. Don't give him. This guy actually can go and earn his own living. Why giving him money? You are supporting his laziness. This guy has a ton of money without you. He doesn't need your money. Why are you giving him? So I will be thinking, you know what? Maybe strictness is right. I'm a kind person. I want to give. But if a guy has tons of money without me, why do I need to give him money? Maybe I shouldn't. If a guy is using it for drugs, maybe I shouldn't give him money. So strictness will win. I'll stop giving money to these people. Then comes mercy. What is mercy? Mercy says, I know this guy doesn't deserve it, but I will still give it to him. Mercy says, I know this guy is a body-able young man and he can work. I understand that he could work and he could make money, but I will still give it to him nonetheless. So mercy is kindness that has overpowered strictness. So in the amount of what is given, in quantity, mercy is smaller than kindness, because the filter of strictness will always be able to hold some of kindness back. In quality, the force with which it is given, mercy is more powerful than kindness. Why? Because strictness has nothing to say when it's met with mercy. When strictness meets kindness, it has what to say. It says, this guy doesn't deserve it. And kindness will start scratching its head. Yeah, maybe you're right. If strictness meets mercy, strictness will say, this guy doesn't deserve it. What is mercy going to say? I know. We've discussed your point at our last meeting, and we already decided that we are not taking it into consideration. So this is mercy. That's the blend between kindness and strictness. It is limited kindness, but much stronger kindness. And that's Yaakov, our third forefather. And this is how he was able to raise a generation of children who were all following the Torah. And we know that Yaakov's other name was Israel, Israel. And this is why we are called Bnei Israel, children of Israel. And that's why our land is called Land of Israel. Because we are all, well, first of all, we are called children of Israel because technically, besides for us, there are others who are children of Abraham. Besides for us, there are others who are children of Yitzchak. Besides for us, there's nobody who's a child of Yaakov. That's a technical reason. But Kabbalah also explains because we have to inherit this trait of harmony, mercy, which is fusion between kindness and strictness.